Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It's championship weekend at the 2022 BNP Paribas Open in Southern California. And only the biggest stars remain to play for the highest stakes on day 11 in Tennis Paradise. The future is now for 18-year-old superstar in waiting Carlos Alcaraz as he takes center stage against his hero, the greatest men's major champion of all time, Rafael Nadal. Plus, the women went deep into the night to settle their business. Iga Swiatek was sensational, and Maria Sakkari sublime to set up a spectacular final. And we'll look ahead to the second leg of the Sunshine Double with Miami Open Tournament Director James Blake. Those stories and much, much more on this Desert Edition of Tennis Channel Live. Let's go. Championship weekend is underway in Tennis Paradise. Welcome to TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open, our one-hour pregame show to get you ready for first ball every morning here in Indian Wells. The men play for a spot in tomorrow's final, and trophies will be handed out in doubles. It all starts with Asia Muhammad and Anna Shibahara taking on Zhaoxue Yang and Yifan Xu, the Chinese duo, playing for that women's doubles title. Then Taylor Fritz looking to reach the biggest final of his career against Andre Rublev, followed by the all-Spanish battle between the legend Rafa Nadal and the prodigy Carlos Alcaraz, and the American duo of John Isner and Jack Sock play for their second title here. Well, it was just 10 days ago that Rafa Nadal posted a photo on social media after practicing with Carlos Alcaraz. Today, he is warming up for the real deal. Rafa poised to continue his season of perfection. But the force is strong in young Carlos Alcaraz. The teenager has won 9 straight matches and physically looks like a different person than the kid who lost to his idol on his 18th birthday last year. With that, we bring you inside Stadium 1 for the 11th straight day. Steve Weissman alongside my Grand Slam champion teammates, former world number 6 Chanda Rubin, coach to the stars Paul Anacone. Feels good to finally reach championship weekend. And we were talking about Cam Nori, Paula Badosa still in the draw. Now we've got new champions. They're both out.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting finish to what has been a really fun tournament of tennis. Players who have come back and played some great tennis once again here at Indian Wells. We've had the fans and the energy. That has been so much fun. And looking forward to these matchups, especially the one you talked about, that all-Spanish matchup. That's going to be a fun one as well.
Yeah, that's going to be a highlight for everybody. Is tomorrow's star going to be the star today, right? Alcaraz and Rafa. And guess what? Alcaraz is playing the best tennis of the tournament and probably better than everybody and been playing better than Rafa. But you know what that means?
What?
Nothing. Because today's a different day and you're playing a champion. So Rafa Nadal will try to problem solve. It's going to be about Alcaraz's ability to forget who he's playing, his hero, and just play like he's been playing. It's going to be a tough task. It's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely. We will break down both of the men's semifinals throughout the show today. But we begin with the ladies last night. It was 2015 champ Simona Halep and Iga Swiatek meeting for the fourth time, both players leading the tour in different winning categories, Chanda.
Yeah, this first set was a battle. Swiatek was up 4-2. Halep came storming back, had a couple of set points from 6-4, but Swiatek stayed aggressive, did not go away, kept the pedal to the metal, and Halep upset a couple of times. She destroyed a couple of rackets there at the end of the first set tiebreak. This was a real advantage for Swiatek to take that first set. But Halep, to her credit, didn't go away in the second, really recovered, settled herself down, started competing a little more evenly, got up again in the second set. But Swiatek, she's been so good coming from behind. She's lost the first set a few times this tournament. This time, taking advantage of tucking that first set away, she kept stepping in, especially on returns. and on serve really came through in clutch moments. This was a huge win against a difficult opponent.
Had 5 breaks in the match. She has now won 10 straight matches. Had a different mindset against Halep this time around.
On my previous matches against Simona, I always felt like I had nothing to lose because I was always, you know, not the favorite. But this one, I felt like my ranking is higher, and obviously I've been playing well, so I had to kind of adjust to this different mindset and different mood when I was going on court, and it was stressful for sure, but I wanted to fight till the end and be mentally stronger because Simona is really strong player mentally and she's not giving up, so I wanted to do that better, and I'm pretty proud of that I did it.
She absolutely did. She's got 19 wins this year. We talk about Rafa Nadal, 19-0. Swiatek also with 19. Paul, what did she do best in this match?
Well, it's not often you see someone like Swiatek, even though she's ranked higher, save a couple of set points against a great player like Halep and then come back and overcome the adversity. To me, the most impressive thing, and Chanda, you can help me with this, I can't believe how well she volleyed, too. She had to come up with a bunch of sequential volleys where it was an approach and a solid volley. She did a great job at the net. And Simona fought really hard. She had those chances. Look, for me, the biggest thing for Simona Halep is stay healthy this year, get the match reps in.
Yeah, I think this is a tough matchup. And for Halep, I think for any player, you never forget when you get a beatdown from an opponent. And even if you come back and you win, if it's a tough matchup, you always sort of have that intensity right from the start. And we kind of saw that with Simona Halep. It boiled over a little bit a few times where she broke her racket and you could just see how much she was pushing. But it was Swiatek who time and time again was able to take ground away, played a little closer inside the court, tighter to the baseline. And those volleys, Paul, that you mentioned, those were big at some critical times in the match, in the tiebreak, in that first set. And she just had a little more push, a little more firepower at the very end.
That beatdown happened at Roland Garros when Swiatek went on to win the title here. She is now in her first final at Indian Wells. How about that other women's semifinal? The defending champion Paula Badosa putting her perfect record in Tennis Paradise on the line against Maria Sakkari. This would go back and forth, Chanda.
Another match we were looking forward to between two players who are big ball strikers. And Badosa has been so good on these courts. But Sakkari, she's playing at another level in terms of her belief and her confidence. Yet she was aggressive in big moments, especially in that first set. 11 winners to just 2 for Badosa, but Badosa started finding the serve. That's what she struggled with in the first set, but in the second, started regulating her toss a bit more, gave her opportunities to come in, move forward, take control inside the court, and got that second set tucked away, and on to the third we went. But Sakkari, again, to her credit, she just settled back down, did not lose the focus and the belief, got the early break with huge forehands. The serve was clicking when she needed it to, and it was just so impressive the way she held her nerve against a very difficult opponent.
Yeah, Sakkari wins her first semifinal at this level, second final of the season. Andrew Krasny with an emotional winner.
Tell us why this moment means so much to you.
I mean, you know, I worked my entire life to get to these, you know, late stages of the tournaments, and I know it looks a little bit, you know, maybe silly to someone, and, you know, it's not like I won the tournament, I'm in the final, but it means a lot to me.
Love that passion. Not silly at all, Maria. Paul, take a look at these stats. What stands out to you?
Well, the fact that Maria Sakkari won 7 of 11 break chances, really did a nice job. And how did that happen? She won 75% of the second serve return points against Badosa. That put an unbelievable amount of pressure. But look at the differential between winners and unforced errors and a power player from Paula Badosa. That's not a great sign with that huge gap.
That's surprising right there. I mean, 27-23, obviously Sakkari played great, but Badosa, she's a power player, like Paul said, and to have that sort of deficiency with unforced errors, not going to work out for her.
No, and didn't have enough winners to offset, not nearly enough, just 6 winners for Badosa. Usually she is the more aggressive player who is able to take it to opponents, but in that matchup, it was Sakkari just pummeling the ball. She had that little extra gear that she could go to in terms of miles per hour, and for Badosa, she was constantly under pressure. That created more unforced errors, and it was just, you know, working against her in multiple ways during the course of that match. She did a good job winning that second set, Badosa did, but Sakkari would not be denied.
All right, looking forward to the final. Iga Swiatek, Maria Sakkari. Let's take a look at it with our Tennis Express head-to-head. It's 3-1 for Sakkari. The 20-year-old Polish star got her first win against the Greek sensation just 3 weeks ago. Semifinals of Doha, she won that title. She's looking for her second straight Masters 1000 or WTA 1000 title. And by the way, the winner of this match gets to a new career high. Number 2 in the world. Chanda, how do you see it playing out?
This is a battle for so much that's on the table, including a huge title. And we saw how much it means to Maria Sakkari. How can she handle the emotions, handle, you know, what she's going to be feeling out there, and just try to play the type of tennis she's played all tournament long? But Swiatek, we've seen some of the emotion in her as well. I mean, she has talked about how important it is to get to a level of consistency along with winning these big titles. She already has one title under her belt. And the fact that she beat Sakkari in that last meeting on the way to that Doha title should be a huge confidence boost for her. But how much can she push Maria Sakkari around the court compared to how much Sakkari is able to really get on top of her game? That's going to be the question. It's not as easy, to push Sakkari out of points. And Swiatek, she's been able to do that, but I think this will be a little different story.
Yeah, I think this is going to be battle of offense, right? We know they're both great athletes and great movers, but they're also tremendous ball strikers. They can hit offensive shots. I talked about Swiatek's ability to come forward and volley so well. I think that's going to be important for her. But I think the underpinning to all this is the fact that Swiatek did get that first win just a few weeks ago. She had lost three times, and to have beaten her this recently, given on a quicker court in Doha, it still is great for the psyche to have that victory. Power tennis, offensive tennis, and who's going to have the mental stability at the biggest moments. That's what's going to be the deciding factors. And look, they both have talked about how important it is to be here. So who's going to manage the moment?
Yes, and Maria said, this is not the same Iga that I saw last year. So Sakkari or Coach Tom Hill going to have to come up with a new game plan for the big final tomorrow. As for the men, they wrapped up the quarterfinals yesterday. And we begin with Grigor Dimitrov and Andrei Rublev. Rublev going for his 13th straight win. Dimitrov hadn't dropped a set all tournament. One of these streaks would come to an end.
Now, this is where it went south momentarily. Rublev missed no first serves, basically 80% till he served at 5-4 for the first set. Missed every first serve this game. Just wanted to make sure his coach knows that. He told his coach, I missed every first serve that game. Got broken. But he came back and played a terrific rebound game to break Grigor Dimitrov, and he was not going to falter a second time. The power ground strokes were just awesome, guys. I was sitting at courtside. The energy and the emphasis on getting first strike in for Rublev is absolutely relentless. Even with the great athleticism of Grigor Dimitrov, he had a tough time kind of wrestling control of the rallies, had a tough time using the variety to have impact on the ball striking. After Rublev won that first set, he was off like a train on fire. Played a great second set.
Rublev, that streak continues, 13 in a row. And into the semifinals, dropped just 7 points on his first serve, winning 81% of those. Dimitrov was only broken once all tournament. Andrei Rublev did it 4 times in this match. So Rublev will play the winner of Taylor Fritz and Misha Ketsmanovic. Paul, you were courtside with a big hat and towels. What'd you see?
I know who won this match, Steve. I saw it. And it was some terrific tennis. Both of these guys played a very good first set. Couldn't impact the serve that much. Taylor had a little bit of an opportunity. Got way up in the tie break. But Ketsmanovic hit a bunch of winners in a row. 5-5 Taylor broke that mini break. And boy, oh boy, did I smile. A body serve to close out the first set. Give Ketsmanovic a ton of credit. That's the one opportunity Taylor had. Missed return to serve where he could have gotten a break and maybe run away with it. Then had a hiccup game at 4-3. A couple of double faults. Lost his rhythm. Lost his focus. Got too passive. And Ketsmanovic did a nice job to win the second set. Here's where I give Taylor a big pat on the back. Beginning of the third went nowhere. Had a tough end of the second set. Did not blink. I shut my eyes for the tweener. Shook my head. right up until he ran and hit the forehand winner. That's a break of serve, and off went Taylor Fritz, just rolling with confidence after that. A terrific turnaround, and this is the difference to go from one level to the next, and that's why Mr. Fritz is playing at a new level this year. Average game, big moments, and reset.
He is back into the semifinals for a second straight year, and talks about facing a very familiar foe there.
Me and Andre have so much history playing each other in the juniors so much. We had several meetings in the juniors. He took me out on grass one time. I got him in the finals with him in Mexico one time. We played. He got me in the finals of the junior masters. We've gone back and forth so much, and so it's crazy just to think back. Like you're saying, you know, go back to 2018 when we played here. Like I'm thinking back when we were 17 years old playing in the juniors, just like before either one of us were really having any kind of professional results. It's really cool to kind of see how we've come up together and the kind of results we're producing now.
Paul just threw a pen at the
slipped
at
out
the
of my
TV.
Hand. It slipped out of
so
my
you're
hand.
Not into the junior results.
No, it's great to have nostalgic memories, but Taylor said, I'm thinking back to the juniors. Just look at the scores. Don't worry about that. Think about the recent history, okay? Because juniors, I was just curious who won in the 12 and unders. Do you guys know who won 12 and unders and 14 and unders?
I think it was 10 and unders, was right? It was 10, the first time?
No. In all seriousness, it's great that Taylor has all of that memory stuff. But for both these guys, it's about what's happened recently, okay? They're 2-2 head-to-head since they've turned pro, both playing at new levels, new high levels. Rublev is on fire how well he's played this year. And Taylor's getting comfortable at the next level of rankings that he's gotten to. So it's a really great matchup. It should be a lot of fun tennis. It's going to be first strike tennis for these guys. Good opportunity for both. A lot of pressure for Rublev. He hasn't won a 1,000 yet. Couple of finals that we talked about, Steve. So maybe he feels like I really should do it this time. And Taylor Fritz should be the California kid out there swinging out of his shoes.
Chad, did you think back to juniors and those type of matchups when you played somebody?
I mean, you remember them. You know, you have, you know, sort of that history that goes so far back, and it sort of blends into some of the matches you may have as a pro. But I think for Taylor, maybe it was a little bit of a Jedi mind trick as well, trying to get Rublev to be thinking way back, and Taylor's in the moment because he's playing some terrific tennis. He has really impressed the way he's been able to raise his level, play a more physical brand when he needs to, coming in, attacking, and it's not easy to push a guy like Kecmanovic out of a match, but that is literally what Taylor Fritz did. So I think he's got it covered in that department, and we'll see who gets off to the better start and who serves bigger, because it has been a battle, each of these guys serving terrific when they've needed to.
Taylor Skywalker, we will call him after that one. Let's take a look at our lineup that we have today. We got both of the men's semifinals right here on Tennis Channel, 4 p.m. Eastern, Fritz and Rublev. And then, as highly anticipated as the Sunday sightings on Dumois, it's the all-Spanish battle. Carlos Alcaraz and Rafa Nadal can't wait. Still to come on TC Live, James Blake talking about the Miami Open next week. Also, can Asia Muhammad take her winning streak to 27? We've got our doubles report. Our best of the best countdown begins. Numbers 10 through 6 today. And today's DraftKings match preview, that blockbuster between Nadal and Alcaraz. May the odds be ever in your favor. But first, who figured Rafa would still be the best player in tennis at 35 years of age? John Wertheim explains in today's edition of Unstrung.
TC Live is brought to you in part by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers can bet $1 and win $100 if any point is won. Not in a sportsbook state? Download any of the apps and play for thousands every day in DraftKings free-to-play pools. Use code POINT when you sign up. And by Tennis Express. We deliver tennis right to your front door. Order today, ships today. And Flonase Allergy Relief. Spraying Flonase daily stops your body from overreacting to allergens all season long.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology with its sleek mid-cut silhouette. It's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Chanda Paul, Steve back on TC Live. Seems like yesterday we just got to the desert, but tomorrow is the culmination to this party in tennis paradise. TC Live on Championship Sunday starts at 3 p.m. Eastern, leading up to the women's final. That's followed by the men's final and encore coverage all night long. A reminder to go to tennis.com to get all the information you'll need to follow the BNP Paribas Open from Indian Wells. Right now, Joel Drucker writes, the connection between patriotism and sports is scarcely meaningful. And Steve Tigner breaks down today's all-Spanish semifinal. If that doesn't give you all the feels, here's Maria Sakkari on our warm and fuzzy set.
If you didn't play tennis, what would you do?
Oh, wow. So I would probably, you know, try track and field, maybe?
Track and field?
Yeah, I'm a quick...
You're quick.
One. Yeah.
I would never, if I ever played you, which will never happen.
You would never drop shot me,
I would
right?
never drop shot you.
I know. Many don't say that to other players, but they always do.
Oh, that's where we get the top secret information. You can see all of the great warm and fuzzies with Michael Costa, Lolo Jones on tennischannel.com and the Tennis Channel app. They are really, really special and cool. There's also one with Chanda Rubin. You don't want to miss Lolo and Chanda. We are leading up to our WTA Women's Doubles Final. The duo of Asia Muhammad and Shibahara taking on Zhao Shei Yang and Yifan Xu. Asia going for 28 wins in a row. Welcome back. While Roger Federer continues to heal and Novak Djokovic gets halted from entry to the U.S., Rafa Nadal continues to carry the torch of the big three. He now has the most majors and is two wins from tying that mark at the Masters. John Wertheim has more on a man who has found the fountain of youth at Indian Wells.
Been warned for years, going back more than a decade. Rafael Nadal was not long for tennis. Too physical a style, too grinding a game, too intense a belief system. Every point he played was just adding wear and tear to that body. He wasn't going to fade away, he was going to collapse. Enjoy him while you can, folks.
A 21st Grand Slam singles title.
Here we are in 2022, and here he is. He's had his share of injuries and close calls for sure. But today, closer in age to 40 than to 30, he's still going strong. Like a cowboy high in the saddle, he rides into the desert, this tournament's biggest attraction. He's won this event three times in the past. He won the previous major, his 21st, vaulting him into the lead in the all-time men's race. His popularity has never been higher. Vamos, indeed. Now that gambling is no longer taboo in sports, we can put it like this. Imagine a prop bet from a few years ago that said, among Federer, Serena Williams, Djokovic, and Nadal, in 2022, which one would be the star attraction at the BNP Paribas Open? What kind of odds could you have gotten for picking Nadal? Wasn't he the guy who wasn't built to last? Yet, at age 40, Roger pales. At age 40, Serena is clearly winding down as well, saving herself for a push at that elusive 24th major. And Djokovic is, well, let's save that discussion for another day. For this day, let's talk about Nadal, who has figured out his body, when to rest and recover and rehab, when to push and to puddle back. All hail Nadal, and all hail tennis's knack for putting the equivalent of side spin on its storylines, those unlikely twists and turns.
John Wertheim reporting. Rafa currently wears the men's major crown after taking his 21st Grand Slam in Australia, joining Novak Djokovic, Roy Emerson, and Rod Laver as the only men to win each Grand Slam at least twice. So he is a perfect 19-0 to start the season at 35 years old. Coming off an injury, it is almost unfathomable, Paul. But is Rafa Nadal still getting better?
Yes. I mean, I think there's only so much he can get better at in terms of physical play. I think mentally and emotionally, that's his biggest challenge. You know, if, at this stage of his career, like the all-time greats, like Serena, like Roger, the ones that have done it for this long, you have to take things incrementally. And I'm a big macro guy about looking at the expansive view. At this stage in his career, it's all micro. All that matters is managing the stuff micro, enjoying each day, and that enjoyment is helping him. I think he can manage his game better. We've seen him tweak his serve a few different times. He's great around the net. So, sure, he's going to get a little bit better. He's not all of a sudden going to have a one-handed backhand. But there's some things that he can work on. But to think about 19 years in a row winning a title, right, closing in on 1,300 matches, it's just incredible what he's done.
Yeah, I think when you talk about Nadal getting better, it's sort of the sum total of what he brings to the table. I mean, physically, you know, can he really get better physically? He's talked about the fact that he can only manage and maintain at best in that department, especially with this foot injury that he deals with chronically. But I think in terms of how he thinks out there on court, how he uses the experience that he's gained, how he adjusts during matches, how he works to put opponents in uncomfortable positions, especially when matches are at hand, that part I definitely think he is getting better. I think he is, you know, accepting that challenge match in and match out, because every match is different. But Nadal, he is the best at bringing that intensity point in and point out, and he continues to kind of set the bar for other players. I mean, we see that being, you know, the style of play you've got to bring, not only against Nadal, but against all of the top players. So he certainly, for me, is getting better in those areas.
The fans love him, but as you mentioned, the other players revere him. Paula Badosa was sitting in Paul's chair the other day, said, in pressure moments, I'm thinking in my head, what would Rafa do? Right now, we will break down his matchup with Carlos Alcaraz later on TC Live. A lot still to get to as we are leading up to a championship doubles match at the top of the hour. And when we come back, James Blake, our friend, the tournament director at Miami, he joins us to talk about the next leg of the Sunshine Double. But we are just less than 3 days away from the tennis world taking its talents to South Beach and the Miami Open, the second leg of the Sunshine Double. Our first ball to trophy lift presentation of this event starts Tuesday, March 22nd, right here on Tennis Channel. Ash Barty not going, so a new women's champion is guaranteed. A lot of money on the line, and we are so happy to welcome in the tournament director, our friend, our colleague, James Blake, via Zoom, to talk about Miami, already down there at the Miami Open, Hard Rock Stadium. James, great to see you. Tell us how things are shaping up. Are we back to pre-pandemic standards for the players and the fans and everybody there?
We are, and I think there's a ton of excitement because of that. We're actually pacing ahead of 2019 for the ticket sales, and I think having the event with limited ticket sales last year and not having the event the year before has just added to the excitement for the fans to be back, be able to watch in a packed stadium and see some of the greatest tennis players in the world get to do their thing and at this beautiful venue. So the players are excited to be back here. There's some construction still going on with the F1. We got Formula One race coming here, so the infrastructure in the future is going to be continue to improve because of that. But right now we're still getting acclimated with a racetrack being built around us at the same time.
Speaking about the stadium and the racetrack, is that the stadium right behind you, over your shoulder? Is that
right behind me? Yeah, we're in the stadium. There? If you guys see that, yeah, that's the where the Dolphins play, and we got the stadium back. So it's fun because we got the stadium court back. We can fit just about 14,000 people, but I don't know if the players are going to be a little upset when they get here, because last year they had that whole field to be able to warm up and play, and they had like full field soccer games. And we still have a huge warm-up area, but we have to actually put up the stadium so we can accommodate all the fans this year.
Yeah, well, actually, tennis is the priority, so the players probably need to get over that little golden nugget you gave them last year. So many things on your plate down there, James. I was just curious about the wild cards. You guys got Andy Murray there. You got Kyrgios in there. Jordan Thompson got in the main draw now. So what happened with that last spot?
Last spot is going to go to Emilio Nava, a young American that qualified last year.
Young American player.
Yeah, an American player, the type that you really you want good things for. He's genuinely extremely grateful, happy to be here, and we hope he has some success as well.
When you go through the process of the wild cards, it's always been one of my things as a player and a coach. It's got to be a nightmare for a tournament director with all the people. How do you try to value, kind of given the up-and-coming stars versus the marquee guys like Andy and Nick and so forth?
Yeah, the wildcard process is always an important and exciting part of my job, but there's a lot of voices. Every agent lobbying for their player, as they should. They're doing their job, but everyone's got their own sales pitch, and so you just have to kind of wade through that and decide who you think actually deserves it and who's going to make the most of the opportunity. And you're hearing from a lot of things. You have the corporations with the IMG, William Morris, Endeavor groups. You've got the USTA giving their input, and you've got other just the agents that are lobbying for their clients. So it's just it's a long process. You're very, very happy. You make a few people very happy, and you make some others. You have to give the bad news when you can't do that, but that's part of the job.
All the voices. Paul and I still waiting for our doubles wild card.
Yeah, did you get that request, or you didn't get the Weissman Anachrone request for doubles, or?
The Anacone request was definitely dismissed quickly. Appreciate it, but also eight million in prize money. That's not enough to get you here. I don't think I can get you out of bed for that. So I didn't think it was worth it for you.
He needs the guarantee, at least a 500 grand guarantee to show up anywhere. We're here with James Blake, tournament director of the Miami Open. Was there any conversation, or what were the conversations with Serena and Venus Williams about potentially playing Miami this year?
We obviously always would love to have them here. They're two of our greatest champions. They're local. They live close to here. Serena has been, they've both been unbelievable ambassadors. They're involved with the Miami Dolphins. So, we always want them here. They're two of our greatest stars in the sport, but this year it just wasn't possible with they physically weren't able to compete. They're not quite ready to be back on court yet, but hopefully we're looking forward to them being back next year. But either way, we're supportive of everything they're doing, and I think they're busy this week with the Oscars. So I mean, they're hopefully we'll be up on stage for King Richard.
Yeah, that'd be great to see. It's always tough when they're not there, but they are legends and legacies in the sport. We want them back whenever they're here to see through some of the different changes. And there's been a lot of changes in the Masters 1000s. I mean, now it's very different. Back in the day, with 3 out of 5 set finals, and it's been changing and evolving. And I think, if memory serves me, one of the reasons that they changed 3 out of 5 sets was a 2006 final, maybe the last set in this Indian Wells match didn't go exactly as the fans were hoping for a long. Did I miscue that one, James?
I thought it was 2 out of 3, so I took that third.
Oh, you
set off. Won the two, so he already won. I didn't think it was fair, since I thought it was 2 out of 3 for me to come back and win in 5. I just figured, he might as well give him. And, he struggles sometimes. He hadn't won too many Indian Wells at that point. So I figured, let's let him win this one. He deserves it.
See, James, Paul is here to bring you down. I'm here to lift you up, because before that match, in the semifinals, you beat Rafa Nadal. So what advice do you have for Carlos Alcaraz today?
Oh, man. That's a really tough job for Carlos Alcaraz, because Rafa continues to get better and better. It's incredible. I think about that match when I played him. That must have been 2006-ish, so it's 16 years ago.
Yeah, 2007. Exactly.
16 years ago, and the guy is still in the semifinals playing this level of tennis. I do remember a lot of people, I didn't take it as an insult, but everyone was very surprised that I was able to beat Rafa on that kind of gritty court, because he gets to so many balls, and my game is a little more aggressive. So for Alcaraz, it is possible to play aggressive and beat Rafa there, but I definitely had to play one of my best matches ever to beat Rafa, and Carlos is going to have to do that. But I think for him, it's mentally. You know, he looks up to Rafa so much, as just about any Spanish player his age should. So I think for him going out there and playing as if it's another opponent, not the greatest of all time or the legend that is Rafa, go out there and play his game, because his game is just absolutely incredible. I've watched a lot of his tennis this last week and a half, and there's no reason why he can't win this match and win the event and come down here and have plenty of success in Miami as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing Carlos Alcaraz play the Miami Open. We'll forget about that Federer final. It's all about the semifinal against Nadal. Nothing happened after that. James, it's exactly. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for spending some time with us here on TC Live. Can't wait for the Miami Open.
Always great to see you guys. I'll be back on that desk one of these days, too.
All right, we miss you here, James, but keep doing your thing. Of course, our coverage of the Miami Open starts next Tuesday. We got the full squad. Martina, Jim, Lindsay, Brett, Prakash, Danny, Mark Pecci, plus Caroline Wozniacki. The Bryan brothers will be in Miami. Myself, Chanda, Andy Roddick doing TC Live every night from L.A. We'll be back with more after this. Anneko and Ruben Weissman back on TC Live. Top of the hour, we are handing out our first trophy. Asia Muhammad, Anna Shibahara, taking on Zhao Shei Yang and Yifan Xu. The two men's semifinals. Fritz Rublev, ooh, can't wait for Alcaraz, Nadal. And then John Isner, Jack Sock going for their second title here in the desert. Speaking of doubles, that first title came 2018 for Sisner. They got a wild card. They have proceeded to beat the top seeds, the Aussie Open champs, and everyone else in their way, Paul.
This was power tennis at its finest with a little crisscross action and then the field volley from Jack Sock. These guys serve so well, Steve. They saved all three of their break points, which allowed them to tee off on the return games. Jack Sock with the forehand down the line winner right here. And it is just perfect tennis for big John Isner to swing freely and Jack Sock to do his magic stuff on the doubles court. The early breaks in both sets really relax the guys, and a relaxed Jack Sock and John Isner makes it very difficult to deal with.
When you got two big forehands like that, you can go two back and be very successful. Yesterday was Rajiv Ram's 38th birthday. I saw his team had a beautiful cake they brought on site, but Santiago Gonzalez and Edward Roger Vasselin crashed the party ball.
Yeah, they sure did ruin the party, but Raj there gets that first set under his belt. Kind of had control this match, got away from him here in the second set. Great job to break serve, split sets. Match tiebreak got a little nervy, guys. It was so tight right here. And some really good tennis, trying to play defense. Our Raj and who's his partner?
That's Rajiv Ram's partner.
Joe Salisbury. He's very well done. Come on, Steve.
This was a medium rare performance.
A little tight at the end of the match tiebreak, but you got to give Roger Vasselin a great job done by he and Gonzalez to come through in that match tiebreak, because it was choppy stuff in the beginning.
Chop salad stuff. First event playing with one another, and they make a Masters final. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, good. They're really combining well. Really, you know, doubles chemistry. You get the right chemistry going. Seriously, it is a huge, huge difference.
All right, looking forward to that final later today. But first, it is time now. DraftKings preview of the day, and it is the big one. The all-Spanish matchup, Alcaraz-Nadal. Nadal coming in the favorite for this one. You know, back on March 9th, he posted a photo on Instagram with the caption, "Good training with Carlitos." 10 days later, they play for a spot in the finals. Paul, who do you think benefits most from that practice session?
I don't know that that practice session matters so much. I think it's really just about Carlos Alcaraz getting past the hero part, which is really difficult for anyone to do, especially someone from the same country as Rafa. If he can get past that, I think he's got a very good shot. I think he's playing the best tennis of his life. He's played unbelievable tennis this tournament. And Rafa's in the semis, but he's not playing Rafa quality, top level quality tennis. He's playing Rafa, top quality problem solving, and that's why he's in the semis.
The first time they played, Chad, it was a beatdown. Madrid last year, Nadal only dropped three games in this match. What do you take from that today?
Yeah, I think Alcaraz just wasn't quite ready, didn't know exactly what he would have to contend with. It's the hardest thing. Until you get out there on the court with a great champion like this, you just aren't quite sure what to expect, and Nadal just ran away with that match. But it was kind of a foreshadowing of what we would see going forward. I mean, this kid, Carlos Alcaraz, has been outstanding. He's been almost Rafa-like at the same age.
He certainly has. I mean, take a look at this. He made a better performance at a major, Paul. Top 20 debut in February. He was 13 days younger than Nadal. I mean, you got to go back to 1993 for somebody who was younger than Alcaraz making that top 20 debut.
These numbers give you a little bit of a spine tingles. You look how close these two are. It is amazing to look at the comparison.
And where's the bicep compare? I mean, I feel like
we did that, didn't we?
We're missing.
We did do that.
We did that yesterday.
We had some numbers.
Should we do it daily?
Let the people know.
We should do it daily, maybe. Yeah. Depending on adrenaline level, who went to the gym closest?
We did their 50 sets of 50 in the morning. You know.
Or we could stick with the facts.
Yeah, there we go.
Just showed them.
That's part of the facts.
That's an option.
A little intimidation factor out there. DraftKings daily parlay special. Let's see how we did yesterday. We won. If you bet on Rublev and Fritz, you put $100, you got 208. Rublev won by 6 games. He covered the spread against Dimitrov. Fritz won by 3 games. Just covered the spread against Kecmanovic. So, what is our daily special parlay today? You're putting your money on Fritz and Nadal. Bet $100 to win 245. So, he gets 2.5 games against Rublev, and Nadal is giving a game and a half against Alcaraz. Chanda, are you picking both of these bets?
I'd probably take both of these. I think Fritz is going to get through. You know, you can deal with the plus and minus games.
Yeah, so if he gets through, it doesn't even matter. If he wins, the games don't matter in that one.
Yeah, I think I definitely would pick Fritz to get through this. And I would maybe give Nadal the edge, although I think that one's a little more of a toss-up. I think, you know, Alcaraz, depending on how he comes out mentally in this match, if he has that belief and is really ready to go toe-to-toe, I would kind of give him that slight edge, but that one's a little more of a toss-up for me. But yeah, I like those picks.
Yeah, I'm going to go as an interested bystander. I'm going to go pick him. It's so close. I think Taylor has a really good shot, like Chanda said. And I think I actually agree with you with Alcaraz. But the big question is, does he get past the hero worship? Mm. And you'll know that pretty early on.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get down to Rafa, that's going to be a problem in this situation.
Yeah, I think he's got a bit of an advantage with Juan Carlos Ferrero in his camp to kind of help him work through that. And for sure, you can count on that's probably the conversations that they've been having over the last couple of days. It's not about tennis between the lines. It's about, you know, between the ears.
And remember, Seb Korda really got crushed first time he played Nadal, also his idol. Yeah. Practiced with Nadal earlier in this tournament. Almost beat him when they played. So expecting a much tighter matchup between Alcaraz and Nadal today. A reminder, download that DraftKings Sportsbook app. Bet $1 to win $100 in free bets if any point is won. Use that promo code POINT and download the app today. It's all free. Well, still a lot to get to on the show. We have best of the best coming up. Don't want to forget about that. TC Live tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern, leading up to the women's final, 4 Eastern. Make note of the time change. Men's final follows that, and then encore coverage all through the night. But really looking forward to seeing those two finals tomorrow. Mark that down for best of the best.
Phenomenal pickup from Korda there.
behind.
Oh, that's an amazing point. Daniel took the long way around to track down the lob from Murray, but Andy had the answer.
That's my vote for point of the tournament so far.
Oh, that is sensational. How on earth did Kerber pull that off?
13-15.
What? Public is outmurring Murray right now. Very fancy, fantastic drop volley there, and he still gets to it. Fantastic stuff from both players.
Paul, you cannot tell me there are five shots better than those.
I don't know. I'm always so biased with Andy Murray's because his tend to be like three in one point. You know, it's a run, it's a get, it's a drop shot. He has so many great shots, but I'm not sure there's five better.
Right?
Is that fact or fiction?
There's got to be. I trust our guys.
Is that fact
I know there are, and I'm going to be
all right. We're going to get the top five for you tomorrow here on TC Live. Remember, starts at 3 Eastern tomorrow. Enter the social net. Look at Ben Stiller with his buddies, Diego Schwartzman and Rafa Nadal. He was watching Rafa's match the other day. Nick Kyrgios was giving him a little crap there in the stands.
I don't know if he was he?
No. Well, he was saying, I don't tell him how to act.
Right, he was giving someone else a hard time.
Ben was there for Rafa, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think he was cheering for now. Who knows?
It happens with Kyrgios.
Yes. That's a great photo.
Yeah.
Meet the Spaniards and Argentinians.
Is he righty or lefty? Do we know? Do we know if Ben Stiller's a righty or lefty tennis player?
I think he's you know, he can do both.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah.
He can do it all.
Hasn't been in any of the stuff you've hosted or anything?
No, not yet. Not yet. But I'd love to.
All right.
Holler at your boy, Ben.
Keep us posted.
Let's get out on the court.
Keep us posted.
Knock some around. We are leading up to the women's doubles final. Top of the hour. Asia Muhammad, that streak at 27 in a row right now. Looking to make one of them a 1,000-level title. Tennis Paradise on Championship Weekend. It's going to be packed here at Indian Wells. Couple of men's semifinals today, and two trophies being handed out. We've got the women's and men's doubles finals. We are leading up to the top of the hour. Chanda Rubin has gone over to the booth to join Leif Shires for the call of the women's doubles final. Then we got Taylor Fritz against Andre Rublev. They go all the way back to the juniors, the Little Mo. Who knows? Carlos Alcaraz, Rafa Nadal meeting for the second time. And speaking of second time, John Isner, Jack Sock looking for their second title here in the desert. A lot to get to. You're going to go out and be courtside for both of those matches, one as a coach and then one as a commentator.
Yeah, it's going to be a great look. It is going to be a great afternoon of tennis, starting off with the women's match. What's your take today?
My take? I mean, I'm just...
What's
I'm
our
just,
friends at Flonase say?
Listen, it is a privilege to be here, Paul.
All right.
This is our Flonase match of the day. Your guy, Taylor Fritz, taking on Andre Rublev. Taylor said he needed to be better from the baseline in this match. Do you agree with that?
He does, yeah. He does need to be better from the baseline, and he needs to just be geared up and have fun out there. Look, the hard work is done. Now it's about swinging and playing freely, so it's going to be fun when two big smackers of that tennis ball out there today.
They really are. Rublev's on a roll. He's won 13 in a row. Fritz trying to be the first American man to make the final here since John Isner back in 2012. Looking to be the first to win it here since Andre Agassi. The fact, What's the comparison of how you see Taylor Fritz October when he made the semifinals to today?
Well, I actually think he played better in October. I mean, he played, I think he beat three guys in the top 15 that week, and he played better tennis. He's played better mental tennis this time, and that's part of being comfortable with where he is in the rankings, because when you're comfortable with where you are and how good you are, what do? You find ways to win on your average days, and that's what he's doing better now at this stage in his career, and he's going to get better at that. So today he's going to need to play better and also to be sharp mentally. So it's going to be a tough task for him, but a good one.
That's great. I mean, mentally in 6 months to get to that level. It's a huge weekend for Spanish fans. Today you've got Carlos Alcaraz taking on Rafa Nadal. Tomorrow, El Clasico, Real Madrid, Barcelona. So they're gearing up for a big-time weekend. Who wins the match today, Alcaraz or Nadal?
I am leaning Nadal, but I won't be surprised if Alcaraz wins. He's played better tennis, but Rafa Nadal is Rafa Nadal. And that's all you need to say.
19-0 this year. In this match, what you've seen from Rafa, have you seen steady progress throughout this tournament?
I have, but the thing is, it's been a little choppy for him. Usually he gets better and stays better, and he hasn't really done that here. And a lot of it's because of the players he's played.
Sure,
he didn't get any rhythm against Riley Opelka. That's tricky. And in his last match playing Nick, that's tricky because you don't know what's going to happen. But after he won the first set with Nick, he actually didn't raise his level. His level dropped, which is a little uncharacteristic. Found a way in the third set because he's Rafa Nadal. That's what he's going to have to do today.
More problem solving should be a fascinating encounter. The hero, the prodigy, all of that stuff. Players walking out to the court right now. Stadium One doubles final. Asia Muhammad on the left, Ena Shibahara on the right. Muhammad has been balling. 27 wins in a row. 3 in singles, 2 in doubles. Teaming up with the former UCLA Bruins superstar, taking on that Chinese duo Zhao Sheyang and Yifan Xu. It is going to be a spectacular matchup. We've got Leif Shiras and Chanda Rubin on the call. I'll be here on the desk all day long to interview the winners and get you updated on everything going down in Tennis Paradise. Thanks for watching TC Live. Enjoy the match next.